This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy still not convinced computers are here to stay, Pete Chwaba.
Good evening, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight. I am Pete Chwaba. Great to have you with me. Thank you for joining us, as always, here at Civic Media. We are broadcasting live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. I have to say, right out of the gate, so much has happened today. I can't even, keep my thoughts straight. We had two huge passings today, Bob Uecker and David Lynch. Bob Uecker from the sports world, David Lynch from the famous director. We've got... We've added guests. We're trying to keep up with the news because it is entertainment news. They're both entertainers. Bob Uecker in the sports world, as I mentioned, and from the movie world. And David Lynch, obviously a titan in Hollywood with all of his contributions movie-wise. David Lynch made huge feature films, but he also, a lot of people might not know this, made a ton of short films that were artistic and more like almost like graphic art. But he passed away today at the age of 78. And Conrad, Bob Uecker was 90, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Boy, that's a good run, even if you're not still working full time like he did. He worked a full season last year, right? Calling Brewer games.
I don't even think it's work for him, you know?
True. True. Do we know his cause of death? Was it just old age or?
Well, if you heard during the break, Mike Clemens said that he was battling with lung cancer.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I was making a bathroom run during Mike's sports cast. Is that too much information? People go to the bathroom. I shouldn't have to apologize for it. Very sorry to see Bob Uecker pass, though. My favorite Bob Uecker stuff or contribution that he made, I would hear him periodically on the radio calling Brewers games, which he was so great at. But it's Major League. He was so funny in Major League. And I read a book when I was a kid. I cannot remember the title of it, but it was just Bob Uecker stories. And he told stories about kind of hard partying after games and how baseball used to be back in the day. I'm not even sure I was supposed to be reading them as a kid, but you got the sense that he just loved life and he loved to party. And he loved fishing, if memory serves me correctly. But we have a special secret, top secret guest that's going to join us tonight at 7:05 to talk about Bob Uecker. So you're just going to have to stick around to find out who that is. Or I'll just tell you right now, his name is John Egan, and he's a comedian. And he's been on the show before, and he hosts Brewers podcasts. So I think John would be a great guy to talk to. And Mike Clemens is on the show tomorrow night. I didn't want to ask him to do double duty, so we'll get Mike's take on Uecker's passing tomorrow night as well. Conrad, do you have thoughts? I mean, you're a big-time Wisconsin sports fan. What do you think about Bob Uecker?
Yeah, it's really devastating. Just thinking of every moment I loved with the Brewers, you hear him in it every yeah. single moment. So it sucks. But his legacy will live on forever in Brewers baseball.
Absolutely. And... he's immortalized as well in the film Major League. So great. He had comedy chops. I mean, he was a funny guy by nature. And it's weird, like with baseball announcers, it seems like the bigger names all had something different to contribute. Like Uecker was really engaging, also so incredibly knowledgeable as a former player. You've got guys like Vin Scully who have this mellow, smooth voice that almost perfectly matches the picture you're seeing when you watch baseball. Then you had crazies like Harry Carey who were just kind of loud and sort of made it more about themselves. And then you got guys like Bob Uecker who I think like Milwaukee realizes what a treasure he was because he was so knowledgeable. And he was just such a... Remember the light beer commercial when he was... We'll have to find that. It's Bob Uecker sitting up in the nosebleeds. And the last line in the commercial is, he missed the tag, he missed the tag. I must be in the front row. We'll have to find that. Because I was, I just got news of David Lynch's passing, and I was trying to find Bob Uecker stuff. So anyway, we have a great show tonight. Just wanted to get that out of the way at the top of the broadcast that Bob Uecker had passed away. I'm sure you already heard that. But in fact, let's do the question. Let's get the ball rolling on the question, Conrad, before we announce the guests, because I think this could be fun with regarding Bob Uecker.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What comes to mind when you think of Bob Uecker? That's tonight's question, folks. Pretty straightforward. You can share something you heard him say, if you met him, a fond memory, what he did that made you laugh, like if it was Major League or the commercials I was just talking about. What comes to mind when you think of Bob Uecker? That is tonight's Nightlight question of the night. Let us know, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app. It's so easy to use. Whatever station you are listening on through the app, just click the little text icon and let us know what you're thinking. And Conrad, how can people watch the radio?
So on Facebook, it's we're under WISS, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and WGBW. On YouTube, it's WGBW or Civic Media. And on Twitter, it is Civic Media or WGBW.
Find us any way you can, but just find us. We love when you guys are part of the show. We had a lot of great responses to last night's question. Our guest tonight at 6:35, this is very exciting. Wisconsin Foodie is about to start its new season. I want to say it's the 16th. Wisconsin Foodie creator and executive producer Arthur Ersink will be here. We've had Arthur on the show before. He's a lot of fun to talk to. He'll give us some... Whenever I talk to Arthur, I'm always curious, like, I feel like when we have access to people like Arthur or Sherry the other night, I always want to get information out of them about healthy stuff. So we'll ask Arthur about healthy Super Bowl snacks. We've had that discussion in the past, and he is, Arthur's a really sharp guy. He's a great filmmaker, and he knows a lot about food, and he has had an incredible run on Wisconsin Foodie. Just a great show right here in Wisconsin that celebrates food and the stories behind food. So Arthur will be here at 6:30. Then we have a surprise top secret guest named John Egan. John is the host of Another Brewers podcast, and he is a big-time Wisconsin sports fan. I just met John about 2 months ago. He's going to do a comedy night for me up in Marinette, a charity event, and he was a great guest on the show, and he's a big-time Brewer fan. So we'll talk to John a little bit about Bob Uecker's legacy. That's around 7:05, 7:10, right in that wheelhouse. And then at 7:35, there's kind of a cool thing happening up in Marinette. That is my hometown. And all these campuses, these branch campuses, UW campuses, a lot of them are closing. And the question is, what do we do with them? Do they just get torn down? Do they get converted to condos? Well, the one in Marinette is right on the water. Formerly UW Marinette, then it became UW Green Bay Marinette campus. It's a beautiful campus right near the water. They have a great theater. My daughter did kids theater there until she left for college. It's just a really great facility. And I feel very fortunate that Marinette has a facility like that. So the question now becomes, what do you do with these buildings? Well, there's a group in Marinette called the ACC that are putting their heads together and trying to make some change in the community. It's called the Association for Community and Culture. And it's been formed with an effort to save a beloved theater space and repurpose these facilities. They're trying to bring culture and preserve culture in the Marinette-Menominee area. And joining me to discuss that issue will be Wendy DeZurek and Trig Rood. They will be here on the stream at 7:35. And I'm going to ask them, too, can this happen in other cities? It hasn't been done yet, but they're trying to convince the county board in Marinette to apply for this $2 million grant. We'll get more information from Wendy and Trig, but it's just a great undertaking. And I feel like a lot of towns, especially towns the size of Marinette, you can never have too much culture. Not every kid can play sports. Not every kid can do 4-H. Not every kid can do home ec or whatever. Arts and culture should be part of the fabric in many Wisconsin towns, as far as I'm concerned. And when we do that, I think we'll have a better shot at getting film incentives here. Just helping brand Wisconsin and some of our smaller towns a little better with theater and culture. It's great for kids. You learn a lot of the same lessons you learn in sports, coming together, being part of a team, hitting your marks, pulling your weight. Terrific, terrific activities for kids. And it's not all about being on stage. You have to build sets. You have to paint. You know, you need set designers, carpenters. So many people have fun backstage too. Anyway, in Marinette, we have this great facility. I hope they can keep it going. I hope they bring more arts and culture there, because I would hate to see the campus fall into disrepair or just have someone buy it and tear it down and build things that I don't want, Conrad. We'll talk to Wendy and Trigg at 7:35. That'll be a fun conversation. But right now, we're talking about Bob Uecker, who passed away at the age of 90. And that is our question of the night. What do you think of when you think of Bob Uecker? What comes to mind? Such a treasure we had here in Wisconsin. And the good thing about Uecker, I think he truly was appreciated. You know, I think people recognized during his life that he was such an asset to our sports fabric here in Wisconsin and the Brewers. That's a loss. David Lynch is a loss. If you have a favorite David Lynch movie, I thought maybe we would do this tomorrow, but favorite David Lynch movie. David Lynch lived outside of Madison for a while. He died today at 78, and he is the brainchild, the creator of such films as Blue Velvet. Blue Velvet was the first David Lynch film I saw, and it blew my mind. I was 18 years old. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It had themes and topics that were very foreign to me, with a great cast: Dennis Hopper, Isabella Rossellini, Kyle MacLachlan, Laura Dern. Such a fun movie to watch from the perspective of an 18-year-old, because it was just like nothing. It was nothing like Ghostbusters or Star Wars. It was an adult movie, so to speak. But yeah, he made other films like Wild at Heart, created the TV show Twin Peaks, Lost Highway, and as I mentioned, The Straight Story, which I have to give a revisit. Oscar-winning movie. David Lynch lived outside of Madison, Wisconsin. So we will read all your texts when we come back. Really fun show. Some great varied topics tonight. Hope you'll be a part of it. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. They got you down on your knees. So polite, we're busy still saying please. Friend, no means, but when you're down, ain't your friend. Every night, I smash a Mercedes Benz. First, we run, and then we laugh till we cry. But when the night is falling, you cannot find the light.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. Conrad, what is your favorite day of the week?
Oh, it's got to be Friday.
See, Friday is almost anticlimactic. Thursday,
really?
Thursday is like the eve of the weekend. It's like a little mini Christmas Eve every week.
That I was just about to say that. So it's your Christmas Eve of
kind
every
of.
Week.
Yeah. And it's important to have as many Christmas Eves as possible. Great to have you with me tonight on this Thursday here at Nightlight. Bob Uecker has passed away. David Lynch passed away. A couple titans in their industries. Our question of the night is, what do you think of when Bob Uecker comes to mind? Share a memory. If you met him, share that story. Anything you want about Bob Uecker. Maybe we'll do David Lynch tomorrow night. But we got some texts here coming in, which is great. Tom from New Berlin says his last full season was 2 years ago. Amazing. Yeah, I didn't know that. So he kind of had pulled back a little bit.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to baseball on the radio in a long time, so I had no idea. I just knew he was working, which is, if you're 89 or 90 and still working, even if you're just doing home games, and speaking articulately and intelligently about baseball, that's incredible to do as late into life as Bob Uecker did. Annie from Watertown says, oh, I hope we weren't the ones that broke that news to Annie. But she's in the 920. Tom from Jackson says, Bob did not work many away games last year and missed some home games. Summer won't be the same. Yeah, it's tough when you lose someone who left such a legacy in sports. People on talk shows loved him. He used to go on, I think it was Carson. I know I've seen him on a ton of talk shows. I'm guessing it was Carson or Letterman. He was such a fun guest and so engaging. Tom says, there will be a movie. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Annie from Watertown says, hadn't heard about Lynch. I referred many to Eraserhead back in the 70s. Entertained by reactions for years. I need to give some of these David Lynch films a rewatch. It's been so long. And to be honest, when I was younger, I would watch them because I felt like I should watch them because people I thought were hip or cool were talking about them. So I would try to muscle through them. But I might not have been ready for David Lynch movies at the age I was at. So now I'll watch them with a different eye. But that's great. And yeah, Eraserhead. I think Eraserhead is kind of the one that put him on the map. The first David Lynch film I saw, as I mentioned, was Blue Velvet. And it was horrific and horrifying and funny and crazy and weird. And Lost Highway was really creepy and eerie. I don't remember everything about that either. I do remember Robert Blake, who lived in my neighborhood when I lived in LA, about three blocks away, was in that, and he was creepy. I want to say he played the devil. I need to refresh my memory on some David Lynch films. Steve from Florida. He is in the 920 and in Florida at the same time. Only Steve could pull that off. He says, Grandma Krieger has great memories listening to the Brewers and play-by-play through the years by Bob Uecker. He will be very hard to replace. I don't think you can replace Bob Uecker. Hopefully you get someone who's engaging as well, but just, of course, they're going to be different. Bob Uecker was unique, and that's what all these sportscasters bring to that platform is just who they are and their experiences. Some guys are great with their words and calling the game. Then you had a guy like Uecker who played the game and also called the game. That's why he was so great. Multi-talented when it came to that, when it came to announcing. Luann from Green Bay, she says, Major League, Harry Doyle, Pete Vukovich. He leads the league in most defensive categories, including nose hair. I got to give that a rewatch, too. We were talking about that before the show, Conrad. Just a Bit Outside, classic. That's the name of the documentary, right? We had Sean
Just
Hanisch.
A Bit Outside. Yeah.
Sean, I see Sean Hanisch's Facebook posts. He's busy dealing with the fires, so the last thing I'm sure he wants to do right now is come on talk radio, but I actually thought about trying to get Sean on the show because I remember he was on the show and he talked about interviewing Uecker for his Brewers documentary for Just a Bit Outside. Luann from Green Bay says another line from Uecker from Major League. He once threw at his kid in a father-son game. Oh, I forgot about that. That's a great one. Great line. Doesn't Uecker say at some point in that film too, like, that'll close the book on Serrano. Thank God. Like he covers the mic and turns to Skip. From the 608. It says Uecker moved to Milwaukee and got exposed to Bob on Mr. Bell. Oh, I think she's saying regarding Uecker, I moved to Milwaukee and got exposed to Bob. That's worded kind of funny. I got exposed to Bob on Mr. Belvedere. I was 8. She says, MT from the Grove. Thank you for the text, MT. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, what did Bob Uecker say when David Lynch passed away? Get up, get up, get out of here. I like the way you tied that all together, Tyler. Well done. Comedy tactic. Beautiful. Tom from New Berlin says, when he was in a playoff game, just shagging balls in the outfield, the high school band was there, and he grabbed the tuba and started catching fly balls, and it was hilarious. He ended up paying $250 for the tuba. That was great. He says, that was Bob. Awesome. See, those are the kind of things I want to hear. I want to hear stuff about Bob Uecker. I mean, the lines from the movie are great, or what he said in the booth, but those things that you guys experienced on your own or when you crossed paths with him. Those are the beautiful stories, but they're all good. 608 says, Uke talked to, about, and with many personalities. He informed and entertained us. He certainly did. Well said, 608. Annie from Watertown says, Euchre, beer, smiles, and jokes. Sharing the fun, his persona? No, his personality was real. And we were in on the joke. Wow, that's a great, great observation, Annie. She says, brilliant or just really and honestly good person. I'll leave that to you, Annie. I'm not sure. I've never met him. Seems like a good guy. I've never heard people really badmouth him at all.
You know, at his statue in front of Miller Park, a bunch of people put flowers, Miller Lite cans, a bunch of nice things.
Nice.
Right in front of it, yeah.
That's great. I'm sure there will be a, when the baseball season opens, the Brewers will do something really cool for Bob Euchre, so we'll keep an eye on that. All right. Hey, after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed, we've got Arthur Ersink from Wisconsin Foodie about to start a new season, a 15, 16 season run. This guy is just crushing it. And he created a really cool and really unique show. He'll be here to talk about it and give us some ideas for some healthy snacks. So great to have you with me on this Thursday night. It's the Christmas Eve of weekdays. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
There's a problem with Heather's iron, bargain buildings, weights and pulleys, feathers.
Jim from Appleton says, Bob was the voice of summer in Wisconsin. Very well put, Jim. Andy from Watertown says, more than 100 appearances on Carson starting in 1971. Had to gather 3,000 to get on the team. He had to gather 3,000 to get on the team. I think I'm missing something in the text there, Annie. Crowd loved him. He was deadpan. He leaves the set, and Carson says to Ed, did he really play baseball? That's great. Very funny. Thank you, Annie. Tom says, in New Berlin, says, thanks, guys. Thank you, Tom. Love your text. Keep them coming. All right. We're going to turn our attention to food. In Wisconsin, we love food. We love foodies. Many of us are foodies. And one guy capitalized on the whole deal and put it together and created a show called Wisconsin Foodie, and his name is Arthur Ersink. He is the creator and executive producer of the show, and he joins us now on Nightlight. Arthur, welcome back.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. You had, the last time you were here, I think your child had a birthday party or a costume party or something, and you were all dressed up for that, if I remember correctly.
Oh, you know what? It was like a school dance. I think it was a school dance.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's what it was. How did that turn out 9 months later?
I think it turned out great for the boys. they're getting to that age, but right now it's, it's like they're a wild pack, you know? So, it's fun. They're all great kids. Yeah, man.
Well, it's great to have you on the show, back on the show, I should say. You have this great show, Wisconsin Foodie, and any Emmy-winning independent TV series, dedicated, it says on your website, to discovering the stories behind the food we eat. That's such a great angle to approach this. Tell us about Wisconsin Foodie for those who maybe haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the show was started back in 2008, if you can believe it or not. Wow. And it was started because, you know, I had been working I went to film school in Vancouver, British Columbia, did a lot of traveling, and I spent my whole sort of youth trying to escape Wisconsin. I said, you know, I got to get out of this place. I want to travel. I had that travel bug. And, there's a kind of a little dirty secret is I'm a dual citizen. I'm also a Canadian as well. So I decided I wanted to try to go to school in Canada and Vancouver for film. and, you know, did a lot of great stuff there, graduated, worked in the industry for a little bit. And I was drawn back to Milwaukee after a bunch of travels. And, you know, I think, you know, weirdly enough, I think it was the sports teams that drew me back. Like, I just found this, like, you know, this passion for Milwaukee Brewers baseball and the Bucks. And I don't know what it was, but it drew me back. And I came back to the great state of Wisconsin, and I wanted to get into the film industry. And at the time, there really was not a lot going on. You know, people weren't posting videos on, you know, online, on YouTube. It was, you know, it was pretty archaic. And the industry was pretty limited at the time. And, you know, I had this really fantastic opportunity to work with a gentleman by the name of John Gillespie. He did a show called Gillespie's Waters and Woods. And he, you know, his father was Earl Gillespie, a legendary broadcaster, you know, with the Braves and many other sort of sports back in the day. So the premise of the show is he'd go fishing every single week. And there was a team of two. It was me and him. We'd go fishing. I'd film him fishing. And we'd go out every Monday and Tuesday, came back, gave him the footage. He'd edit it and be on TV later that week. So just a really phenomenal sort of, you know, business guy. And I really learned a lot about local television from him. And I thought to myself, you know, if there really isn't an industry for me, I've got to create this industry. And my big passions were food and film. And I figured, you know, there's just so many stories in Wisconsin. And at the time, I didn't know how many stories were in Wisconsin. I believe that there was a lot of stories here with our sort of rich culinary food traditions. But boy, was I, you know, blown away by, I mean, what's going on 17 years now of incredible food stories, you know, just, and, you know, some at this point, thinking about it, Pete, is like, we created this show maybe 17 years ago. There's kids in their 20s that probably grew up with this show. And, you know, we run into them that said, occasionally they'll say like, yeah, my parents used to watch this show and I grew up with it. And it really kind of inspired me to get in the kitchen or to be a farmer or to get into food. And I mean, that's just like, man, that alone right there is really all the credit I need is to hear that we've impacted people in that sort of way. But yeah, just blessed to be a part of this, this rich culinary sort of history now.
Well, you kind of, I mean, created, it's so, you know, what you just said was very interesting, Arthur. Like, when I was younger, I never thought, you know, that someone being filmed while they're fishing would be good TV. That's incredible. And as you've gotten older, do you realize that it's not necessarily the story you're telling, but how you tell it? As a storyteller, like, you found curiosities about food and have made them interesting. It's the same thing with fishing, I'm sure. How much of what you bring as a filmmaker has lent itself to your success telling these stories about food?
You know, it is really a complete sort of, you know, it's like a puzzle. You need so many things to go right in order, and especially in today's day and age where you find that attention span is so much lower than maybe it used to be. You need everything to kind of go right. And for me, it comes down to the characters, right? It comes down to the story and the characters. The filmmakers and the folks that I grew up with in Milwaukee, like people like Chris Smith and Barry Polterman, they really didn't emphasize technicality. They emphasized story. And that always stayed with me. You know, I the story is the utmost important part of what we're doing. And if you can get a great character, which there are plenty of great characters here in Wisconsin, you know, like I love the people that we find that are such big, dynamic, interesting personalities that have never been on camera that nobody knows exist because you know what, they're getting up at 2 a.m. to make cheese every day. And like, you know, maybe they know, like maybe they're really well known in their small little town in Wisconsin, like Lafarge, but they're not known, you know, to this bigger audience. And I think that was really our goal is to make, you know, with the popularity of food TV nationwide, celebrities are being made every day. We want to bring that back here and make that cheesemaker that's getting up at 2 a.m. every day to make this award-winning cheese that everybody loves so much. We wanted to make him the rock star. We wanted to make him the celebrity. And, you know, and I can say that we've done that. You know, I can say that the people that have been on Wisconsin Foodie at this point, you know, are known. And I love that. You know, I think that's the coolest thing in the world that people know more about their food, you know, now than they ever have.
It's pretty cool that you're telling stories and increasing awareness, but you're also doing something really good for communities. That's got to feel great as a filmmaker and as the creator of Wisconsin Foodie. Arthur Ersink is my guest. When does the new season start, Arthur? And what number are you on? Is it 16 or 17?
So we have a labeling system. It's 17 for us.
Okay.
You know, we've kind of lost track, but that's where we're at. And, you know, Pete, ironically, today was the day that all of these episodes were due to public television, Wisconsin Public Television.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, I had people like Gary Denny, Tom Misch, the whole team at Wisconsin Public Television, you know.
I know those guys.
You know, breathing down my back, waiting to get these episodes. And, you know.
Did you make your deadline?
When you're on their good side, it's all good. When you're on their bad side, it's like, oh, my God, you know, so. Luckily we got it all in. So today was our day. Great. We got everything into the station and, we'll be airing, starting next Thursday at 7:30 on Wisconsin Public Television.
Fantastic. You mentioned Barry Polterman. He's been a guest on the show. Love Barry. Such a great, community of filmmakers in Milwaukee or from Milwaukee. Tell me, Arthur, if you would, you say, you tell stories behind the food. What are some of your favorite stories behind the food that you've discovered or that you've learned of over the last 17 years?
You know, that's always a hard one for, it's always the last one that I worked on. And, you know, for me, I really love the editorial process, the editing process. I do all the editing. Right now I have a team of editors, but like I do like kind of the meat and potatoes storytelling parts. And, you know, we just finished up working on an episode called with Marcus Landry, an ex Wisconsin Badger NBA player who has retired from, you know, pro basketball, and he started a farm. And on that farm, he is bringing kids from the inner city, from schools, to his farm and putting them to work, you know, just showing them how to do things at the farm, how to feed, you know, the chickens, how to even drive tractors.
Yeah.
And it is just such an incredibly inspiring story, just selfless, right? You know, somebody that, you know, probably could have done a lot of things with their life. And, you know, the other really fascinating part of that is there's not a lot of Black farmers in Wisconsin. We have a huge, you know, industry, agricultural industry here, but not a lot of Black farmers. So for somebody like Marcus Landry to really do what he's doing and to inspire a new generation, the next generation, you know, there's one line in the show where he has like this kid, his name's Isaac. He's his right hand. The kid's got to be 12, and he knows how to do everything on the farm. You know, he to the point where he's driving tractors around. And Mark, you know, like Luke asks him, there's a scene where we talk about, you know, Lamborghinis are so cool, but you know, this tractor over here is worth just as much as a Lamborghini. So Luke asks Isaac, you know, hey Isaac, do you want a Lamborghini? And Isaac kind of shakes his head no. And then Luke's like, do you want a tractor? And then he just perks up and he has this big smile on his face and he just nods yes, you know. And that is just the coolest thing to me, man. It's just, you know, these stories are incredible. And the things happening behind the scenes here are just so wonderful. I fall in love with the characters and the stories. And for me, you know, it's so hard to give one of these edits up, right? You know, you want to make it so good for them. But like my favorite line, and it's so true, is art is never finished. It's only abandoned. And that's literally what we have to do. That's what Gary forces me to do at Wisconsin PBS is he just, you got to be done with it and you got to pass it off. And it could always be better, but you know, that's life. That's the life of an editor.
What's that like when you're, you know, every episode you shoot, I'm sure you have storyboards or whatever, or beats you want to hit, but you really don't know what you're going to get. Talk about that feeling, if you would, when you realize, like with the Lamborghini story you told to the tractor, how do you feel when you get something that you know is absolute gold?
Oh man, I'm just so thrilled that the cameraman were, you know, where everybody is shooting, everybody got the shot, you know, we were there for that moment. But you know, I just, you know, it's incredible to, you know, to, it, you know, when I sit down, and I look at all this footage, you know, it's just like it's like Christmas. I just like piecing things together. And at first I'm like, there's no way any of this is going to work. Right. There's no way.
Right.
Because what we do there are no storyboards. You know, I have like a basis of an idea for a story. But I try to, like, everybody is almost in the dark with my crew, with Luke, everybody. And like, I know that I've vetted the subject matter enough to know that it's going to be a really interesting and, you know, it's going to be a perfect sort of thing for Wisconsin Foodie. So we just put ourselves in these scenarios, totally unscripted. Everything is unscripted. Luke is unscripted. Jeez. The camera guys are unscripted. And like, they hate me for it. Everybody, like the camera guys, like I lose them all the time because like they hate walking into scenes, not knowing what we're doing or where we're going. And we make it up on the fly. And that's really important for the sort of style of the show. It's very verite, very like documentary sort of real, you know, and that's what we're after. And you know, some of these shoots, you know, we're there 2 days, sometimes 3 days. If we travel far, we'll spend 3 days with somebody, but sometimes we're only there for a day or 4 hours, you know, at the least. And that all has to be distilled down to like 21 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And that is such a challenge. I know there's a couple episodes that I've just worked on where I'm like, we've got so much incredible footage and there's just not a place for all of it. And, and it's just, you know, our brains at this point are on autopilot. I think, you know, we just kind of, it just, the story just comes out of us and it tells itself.
Well, I hope you can keep it on autopilot for a few more seasons, at least, my friend.
Man, fingers crossed.
My guest is Arthur Ersink. We'll have more with Arthur after a very short break. Craig Anthony Kinnett checks in on the stream and says, I remember Bob Uecker as always having a great sense of humor, always bringing a smile. Remember David L. hypnotizing me and terrifying me with eraser. Oh, David Lynch. Hypnotizing me and terrifying me with eraser head. Truly unpredictable movie. Great text, Craig. Our question tonight is, what do you think of when you think of Bob Uecker? Very simple. 855-752-4842. We'll be right back with more with Wisconsin Foodie's Arthur Ersink. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Oh, some of these texts are great. I can't wait to read these. Hey, great to have you with me, folks. However you're joining us tonight, it's great to have you, whether it's over the stream, old-fashioned radio, gather the family around the big radio in the living room and tune into Nightlight. It's great to have you. Give us a like or a follow if you're close to your social media platform of choice. Arthur Ersink is my guest right now. He has had a tremendous run with Wisconsin Foodie. I'm sure you've seen it. If you haven't, it drops next week on PBS. Is that right, Arthur? PBS Wisconsin and Milwaukee PBS?
Yes, sir. Yes, 7:30 is 7:30 is the date. We got a great episode with Three Brothers Egg Farm, a young family that's producing some of the best eggs in all of Wisconsin. And then we follow those eggs to a place called Uncle Wolfie's Breakfast Tavern in Milwaukee. Very cool show. Very timely. The egg talk has been sort of buzzing lately with egg prices. So, definitely tune into that one.
That's great. So check that out. Hey, Arthur, before we get back into food, did you ever meet Bob Uecker? Do you have a great Uecker memory or moment you can share?
No, I mean, as you were talking, as I was listening to a lot of your texts and, you know, I mean, what a sad day. I think David Lynch and Bob Uecker are Bob Uecker being who he was to Wisconsin was a very special person in my life, you know, and David Lynch was one of the more influential sort of directors, filmmakers that I grew up with, that I admired, that I watched. I think I've watched everything of Twin Peaks a million times, just love his films. And it's such a sad day for both of those, those legends to go out together. But, Bob Uecker. So one of my first jobs when I got back to Wisconsin from Vancouver is I got a job working at the Brewers. I worked in the scoreboard department. So I did a lot of like odds and ends, various jobs. I was like a camera guy in the audience. I was an audio guy. So I would like put microphones on all the people, the guests before the game that were speaking. I would, you know, I did a lot of some of the videos that would go up on the scoreboard. So I did all these things and it was just like, I was shocked that I got a paycheck because I love Brewers so much that like, I'm just like, I was just, you know, like I'm doing what I love, right? Right. That's been my, like, that's what I do. I do things not for the money, but because I love them. And that's just unfortunately been my life. I got to figure out a way to make money, though.
Yeah, that's not a good negotiating tactic, but it is a good way to find happiness.
No, but with Bob Uecker, so I had this, you know, I had a couple instances where, you know, I met Bob Uecker because John Gillespie was really good friends with him. They'd go fishing all the time. And so I'd see whenever I'd leave, there'd be times where I'd leave in the elevator with Bob Uecker, and we'd have a good chat about fishing or John and the good old days. But I remember there was this one day where I was like setting up microphones on the field pregame, and there was this really fantastic producer, Alita Mercer. She would be on the field. We'd just kind of sit there and chat. I'd set up the microphones pregame, and I'd just sit on the field until the whole pregame thing was over. I'd collect the microphones and I'd disappear. One time, you know, Alita's standing there and she gets a phone call and she's chatting with somebody, and then she hands me the phone. And I said, who could this be? So I'm talking, and in this real deep voice was, "Get away from my woman." And I was like, "Excuse me?" And he's like, "Get away from my woman." And Alita looks at me, and then she looks up, and it's Bob Uecker looking down at me, just tell me to get away from me. It was the funniest thing. You know, he is such a joker, and you know, he was such a treasure. It's, you know, and you know, I think I just so sad that he never got to see the Brewers win a World Series. That's the biggest tragedy in all of this. So
wow, that is a great story. What a great memory to have. Well, jumping back into food, Arthur, let me ask you this. How do you think Wisconsin compares to other state when it comes to access to gourmet food? I know Milwaukee is considered like a big restaurant town now.
Yeah.
But when it comes to access to great or gourmet food and access to healthy or whole foods.
Yeah. So I would say this, you know, when you look at, you start off by saying, you know, like, you know, the fine dining, or you kind of talking about these great restaurants, which Milwaukee has so many, Madison has a lot. I feel like they're always sort of competing. There's so much good food in both these cities. You're starting to see small towns start to pop up. I want to say the reason is because the food being produced in Wisconsin is literally the best food in the world. Or at least in the United States, you know, by far, we are the number one producer of so many agricultural products. And it's not just the number one producer, but we have such institutional knowledge and craftsmanship here. You know, cheese alone, when you go to some of these cheese competitions, I mean, you see Wisconsin winning half the awards.
Yeah.
And I think there's been a real shift over my time. I remember when the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board or the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, huge partners of ours, and that's a slam dunk for us because we want to promote dairy and cheese, right? So
right. That's
an easy one. We're on the rooftop screaming about it. But at the beginning of our partnership, they weren't necessarily interested in the idea of promoting artisanal cheese. And over our time, over these 17 years, that philosophy has shifted greatly. You know, we're all promoting, you know, these smaller, cheese makers, there's big cheese makers like the Sartori's that are just doing such an incredible job. So, but I think what's valuable to understand is we are producing because of our agriculture here and our institutional knowledge, some of the best food in the world. So it's pretty easy when you have a restaurant and you're dedicated to sourcing locally. I don't care where you're located, you are going to be producing some of the best food, because the best food is the freshest food that's made within 60 miles of where you're at. And you can't go wrong when you're eating that kind of food.
That is so impressive. I did not prepare you. I did not tell you I was going to ask that question, and you crushed it. That was outstanding. Hey, can you give us a few more minutes on the other side of the news? I have a couple more questions for you.
Sure.
All right, fantastic.
Definitely.
Wisconsin foodies, Arthur Ersink is here. He's going to be with us for a few more minutes after Civic Media's news team brings you their award-winning news reports. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.